Our Old Testament reading comes from Numbers chapter 21. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Ephesians 2. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading today comes from John chapter 3. Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God." This is the word of the Lord.
Congregation,
may be seated. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a common question. What first interested you in him or her? Said that way, it's a question of romantic interest. And there are a number of answers, ranging from the purely physical to the more complex. As a recent pop song would put it, "You'll miss me by my walk, you'll miss me by my talk. You're gonna miss me by my hair, you're gonna miss me everywhere." But that question doesn't just get asked in regards to romance. It's what we've come to ask about a lot of things. How did you end up there? Meaning anything from job or vocation or to place of residence. It's an invitation to say what you love about where you live or what you do. or if love is too strong a word, what path you took that you loved at the time that stumbled you to this point in life. Something of Anna's schooling in this vein caught my attention recently. Her English language arts is doing a section on rules to live by. The text they were reading as the basis was Steve Jobs' graduation address to Stanford. If you haven't listened to that, it's short and worth Googling up on YouTube. But reduced to one line, have the courage to follow your heart and your intuition. Steve Jobs then tells three stories that all circle around how his love for either beautiful things or interesting things would lead to all of his success. One of them that he tells is his love for calligraphy as a beautiful art. After having dropped out of college, he would enroll in a calligraphy class, and that would lead to the Macintosh typography. Part of Anna's assignment was to extract Jobs's rules to live by from that speech. The stretch part would be, of course, to evaluate those rules and to think about what your rules might be. This is the time when a minister would point at, say, the Ten Commandments, or the Golden Rule, or even Jesus' new commandment to love one another. But that isn't exactly where I want to go today. What I want to point out is how Jobs' advice, our question of what interested you, tells us something about ourselves. We love things that are naturally attractive. We give our love to walk and talk, hair and everywhere. We give our love to calligraphy. We give our love to those things that Plato would have called the good, the true, and the beautiful. There has to be something that interests us first to encourage our love. Or at least that's how we normally act. But that's not how God's love works. When the world was in outright rebellion against him, God sent his only begotten Son into that world. When the world was ruled by death, God decided to give it the chance at eternal life. When we would rather reject his Son and the life, preferring darkness, God chose the cross, came not to judge, but to save. There was nothing desirable, nothing lovely, nothing attractive about us or this world. God had even regretted at one point making it all the way back with Noah. Yet when God loves something, whoever does what is true comes into the light, and their deeds are carried out in God. Our natural love follows what is lovely already. God's love creates what it loves. God so loved the world that the cross, this symbol of shame and loss, was made into the symbol of love and light and life. Those bound to death are given life. That a world lost in darkness is filled with light. That a people who love darkness are made into a people that experience that light. That our works being bad might be made good in God. That we being faithless might believe. God's love creates what pleases it. I thought back to Anna's assignment a second time. Again, as a minister, I might point at the Ten Commandments as good rules to live by. But let's be truthful for a second. We've never been that good at keeping them, even less the law expressed as the golden rule. Augustine comments on this text, "People love the truth when it shines on them and hate it when it rebukes them, because they are not willing to be deceived, but definitely want to practice the art of deception. They love the truth when it reveals itself and hate it when it reveals them." Our preferred form of the golden rule is do unto others before they do unto you. There's always something naturally unlovely about the Bible's rules to live by. While Steve Jobs' rules are attractive and encouraging, we all want to be told to follow our dream, just do what is in you. But the truth is that for most of us, if we just did what was in us, the results wouldn't be that promising. And let's even talk Mr. Jobs for a second. He just did what was in him, turning his cancer over to non-traditional treatments. And that ended up killing him, running out his clock on what could have been treated. Even after buying spots on transplant lists, if we think just doing what is in us is enough to please God, we're even further off. What naturally looks attractive, what our love is naturally drawn to, is very likely toxic, especially spiritually. But the love of God creates what is pleasing to it. And that takes place in our Christian lives. While our natural love is drawn to those things which are attractive, God's love moves us towards the cross. And this is where Paul's famous chapter on love might help us. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Patience and kindness. Those are fruits of the Spirit, as is the rest of Paul's description. You could also call his description the positive description of the more negative form Ten Commandments. Do not covet. Love does not envy. Do not bear false witness. Love does not boast. And this is what the love of God creates in us. We're taken from our naturally selfish ways and given the ability to love. Our hearts of stone are replaced with hearts of flesh. And there's no reason to believe any of that unnatural stuff, to give your life as to that something, to that kind of tough love, unless you believe that there, on that cross, we see God's love for us made plain. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. We have all eternity to be remade by that love. If right now It calls for bearing all things. It has already, and especially on that day, it will provide all things. If right now it is found in hope, on that day it will be made full. If we fail, He's been faithful. His love never ends. Our actions may not be recognized in the darkness of this world, but they will be clearly seen as deeds carried out in God. I know I haven't done this justice, but the topic is love and God. We've only been talking about it for 5,000 years. Partly because of how unnatural and paradoxical it is. Partly because this is talk and it's only learned by experience. In the loving. In the midst of the trial. When God does carry you through by the cross. That's the mystery of the gospel. In this world, the love of God comes to us under the cross. And it's only there that we can learn the depth and the reality of love. Amen.